So this practice of just working with the instructions. So begin this morning just to bring your full attention to your body, that contact between the chair or the pillow or bench and the earth. And just to let this mind, heart, make that contact between body and earth. And just to recognize that the earth itself, it has no judgment. It simply is available to us. And in that sense of contact, that sense of ground, there can be a sense that because it holds us without judgment, that we can take a moment just to recognize that there's a sense of safety. And that sense of safety allows us to make that contact and recognize that there can be a sense of ease and relaxation and just the contact itself. It is essentially holding us. And then this practice of bringing attention to the practice of sitting upright. Even in a chair, if there's a little bit of curve in the lumbar area, and just stacking the vertebrae and pulling the chin back slightly. So in some ways, I like the kind of terminology, the dignity of the body. And then finding that position, whether it's a chair or the bench or pillow, that we can hold. And sometimes it's helpful just to take a few conscious deep breaths to bring attention into this body breath. And then the practice is simple. It's just kind of choosing a place to rest the mind. And the body breathing itself. And whether you're the nostrils or the throat or the chest or the belly or the whole breath. To find a home base. A place that you rest and stay as awake and as mindful as possible in the movement itself that comes in, goes out, rises, falls. And the nature of your mind is to wander off. And the nature of this practice is to remember. Remember to come back and to feel. To feel the body living itself, breathing itself. This natural breath. If you find yourself struggling or forgetting, the practice is to remember and bring it back, but bring it back softly. Kind of not jerking it back, but with a sense of acceptance and kindness. And for this retreat, really being able to acknowledge that when the mind and the heart and the body are kind of connected with this body breath, that there is a sense of ease. Simple acknowledgement that without the struggle, without the need to go off into the future or ruminate on the past, that there is simply a sense of connection and joy that exists in simply being here. The practice of this is enough. And again, the practice is to stay as still as possible, but if you find that there is too much discomfort, if you need to move, you move mindfully, kind of relieve some of the tension, and then again come back to the breath and this body sitting here. And see if you can't just recognize the simple thing, the ease of being. Not to fight or struggle with it, but just to be with it. So today, really, just to keep it simple, come back. A sense of dignity of body and sense of connection with the breath. And note when you find yourself wandering off or struggling that you have this capacity to come back to the simplicity of sitting in the center of your world. A sense of ease. So just sticking with that today. If you find that the body causes problems, then again, you can mindfully move a little, or if there's a lot of discomfort there, to just bring some kindness to it. It's okay. We're not trying to fight with it. We're trying to find this place where the mind and the heart and the body find ease and relaxation in the practice itself. And again, sometimes just sitting here, different feelings or emotions will arise sometimes out of nowhere. And I like the kind of practice just internally, just kind of bowing to him, say, oh, I see you, I know you. You can come. I'm not going to fight with you, I'm just going to let you move through. Like the sound of a bell just ringing for a little while, then it subsides. The same way with the thinking, it's such a addictive process of always trying to figure it out or know it. And the practice is, oh, there's a difference between the content of the material and the process called thinking. Our practice is moving back to this possibility of just sitting in the center of these processes, putting more attention on the breath, but recognizing that sometimes the body pulls us away, or maybe a strong feeling or emotion moves through us, or the proverbial kind of thinking. And the practice, oh, let it all go. Just sit here in the center of things. It's okay. So Gil will give some walking instructions and some logistic stuff. But prior to that, I wanted to just speak a little bit. You know, the practice is really simple. And it's really about non-struggle, you know. I love the word ease, because fundamentally when we recognize that we're connected, in the sense of kind of connected with the body and the breath, and, you know, we're not holding, and particularly our past. I just recall I was thinking about Usilananda, who he passed away some years ago, but has a place up the coast in Half Moon Bay. And I remember whenever he started retreats, one of the interesting little pieces in his some of his monks is they would do forgiveness practice right at the beginning, because ultimately, you know, we carry a lot of stuff around, you know, and it's just, you know, in the sense, kind of bowing to our past, because. It's not that it isn't going to come, you know, because that's just the way it is. It's kind of the reverberations of our life and our all the things that go on in our lives. And so there has to be, in primary, it's really forgiveness to yourself. You know, we can be pretty hard on ourselves. And so really just finding that sense of ease and some kindness to let it be. You know, because you're here, this is an incredible opportunity to, you know, it'll untangle. It'll untangle itself, you know. But you have to, in a sense, say, okay, you know, you can thank the past, but don't let it rule you here, you know. Just recognize that you have a choice to say, oh, I'm just going to be with the body and the breath and bring some ease and kindness to to every breath, you know. And I'm not going to be fooled by all that storytelling that goes on. I'm just going to let it kind of be, you know. So anyway, I wanted to bring that in because I think it's, you know, helpful here at the beginning just to kind of let that stuff go. And love your life. What a great opportunity you have being here. It's amazing, by the way. What were the circumstances that it's kind of, I kind of see the practice a little bit like magic or something, you know. This whole life is like that, you know. How did all this happen? You know. So anyway, have fun today. Enjoy the practice. It works and has. So.
Yeah, keeping it simple is kind of the art of it all, and that is forgiveness is and kind of a forgiveness, and also a wide, broad, almost accepting mind for ourselves, so who we are, what's happening. Especially important the first day of a retreat. Many people come to retreat with expectations of what the retreat's supposed to be like, how their meditation's going to just be phenomenal or something. And then they run into the first day. And it's fairly common for the first day to be sleepy. It's fairly common for people to have unexpected discomfort, they have a headache, their body aches more than they expected, and they're coming to one of the most peaceful places in California, but your mind wouldn't know that. And mind's busy and it's racing and or the release of emotions that are unexpected and strong. And so then people feel discouraged because that's not what they came for. It's just came here to be still and quiet or something. It's pretty common for almost everyone the first day of a retreat to have all kinds of these unexpected things come up. Tiredness, body aches, headaches, variety of different things. And so rather than fighting it or rather than judging yourself for it, that this shouldn't be here, It is an opportunity to try to learn how to, in a sense, step back and recognize this too. Let's be with this. Let me try to not be so reactive. Let me not be so much for or against it. Let me try to be not so much judging myself because of it, or judging the month of August because it's, how could August be this way? Something, whatever, the mind does. But rather just hear, okay, this is how it is. Let's see how simple I can be with this. Really be here, as I said yesterday, really be at A, but try to be as simple as you can. And that's, be gracious with it, be generous to what's happening. And that's a powerful training. And in some ways, the difficulties of the first day might be some of the best training you'll get here at the retreat. And I know some people for whom the retreats are, occasionally it's of someone who has an easy retreat. And generally they don't learn as much. So I don't wish you a difficult retreat, but the first day, just be generous and gracious with yourself about how it goes. John and I will begin our practice discussions with you this morning, some of you, and I hope everyone signed up. If you didn't sign up, please make sure to go down and sign up now, because we want everyone to be on that list, because it gets confusing for us if someone is not on the list yet. And John will meet with people in room number 1, which is next to the manager's office in that big community hall where we met yesterday in the circle. And I'll meet with people in room 100, which is down down the hall by the elevator around, kind of counterclockwise around the manager's office. And there's signs that point to 100. And just be nearby. When the person in front of you comes out, you can come in. You don't have to be waiting for me to come and get you. And Diana will be sitting in on the practice discussions with me today. And this is the one of the central ways that we train people to be teachers in our tradition, is for them to be able to sit in and observe these meetings with people. And John and I did that. We did our first ones in like 1990 together at a retreat with a teacher. Part of our ability to be teachers was because we were given that gift back then to be able to sit in, observe, and learn from that. And so you're the recipient of that benefit in us being teachers for you, we hope. And so it's a gift you give for next generation of people to be able to let a teacher trainee sit in there. You're welcome to ask the person, in this case Diana, to step out if it's not appropriate for her to stay, or if you feel uncomfortable and feel it's going to interfere with your interview. But that's the plan. And I would like to mention again the importance of trying to be fragrance-free in here. And I know that sometimes people don't realize that their personal care product has fragrance, maybe because they're so used to it, or maybe because it says natural fragrance. And and the assumption is if it's natural, that means that it's organic and just all natural things are good. But for some people, any kind of this kind of aromatic smell can trigger allergic reactions or a variety of things. So if you could be really careful, if you're unsure if your personal care product has a smell or not, this is one of the things managers can do for you. They can sniff. Sniffing mindfulness. So walking meditation is one of the important forms of meditation in our tradition. And some people associate meditation with seated meditation and think that's where it's all at. After all, most images of the Buddha show him sitting, meditating like up here. But the Buddha himself did walking meditation, and down through the centuries, it's been a very honored way of practicing. On retreat, it's particularly important and useful to do walking meditation, because there's something happens in the alternation of sitting and walking. the two support each other, and there's a mutual reinforcement that comes with each other. There's a variety of psychophysical kind of things that come into balance or get stronger in the alternation of going back and forth. And so we strongly encourage you to do the walking meditation. And when you do it, it's really helpful to kind of do as long of a period as you can. Like we have a 45-minute walking period. Try to fill, you know, what you don't want to do is to, you know, go walk for 5 minutes, then go pee. Go walk for 5 minutes, then get tea. Go walk for 5 minutes, then go lay down. Go walk for 5 minutes, then go tea. You know, the idea is that if you do a longer stretch of time, it's like heating up the kettle, the water to boil. If you keep the flame on all the time, it comes to a boil. But if you keep turning it off, you know, it doesn't. So you kind of, you know, so just try to figure out how to get the biggest gap in that time that works for you. And for some people, walking meditation is an acquired taste. And it was for me. I didn't like it. And when I started, and you don't have to like it to benefit from it. So so it's very important not to kind of live in the tyranny of your likes and dislikes. It's a great thing to learn that you can have likes and dislikes and they're not in charge. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, I don't like this, but I'll do it anyway. But then it's acquired taste, so over time probably you'll settle into it and you'll learn how to do it. So and here at IRC, there's a lot of places to do it. You can certainly do it in the walking hall right next door here. And we do it a short distance back and forth, so more people can be in there. You're welcome to do it in the community hall downstairs. And if no one's doing yoga on the carpet down there, some people like to do it on the carpet down there. Or in the hallways. The hallways generally wide enough for walking meditation. The decks are great for doing it, and a lot of people like doing it outdoors in the parking lot or even in the orchard. There's walking, built-in walking meditation slots in the orchard, just down the hill below the parking lot. So there's a variety of places you can go. And there's many ways of doing walking meditation. I think all of them have in common that we're doing something that's very simple, relatively ordinary activity of walking. And the idea is to really be walking. What else would you be doing if you're walking? As John said, the mind can drift off in the future, the past, thinking about things, evaluating things, making comments about this and that, all kinds of things. And we're not really in the walking. We're not really fully in the walking. And it's possible to kind of really embody, inhabit yourself as you walk. So like all your pores and your muscles and your bones and your marrow kind of know you're walking, are present and in your walking, like you're inhabiting your walking from the inside out almost. So that's all you're doing with your mind, your attention, your intention, your your attitude, your mood, your thoughts, your body, just kind of like gathering it together. Come here, gather together. Come be here, just the walking. and it's maybe an unhelpful analogy, but maybe you can translate it to yourself. It'd be like walking along a narrow ridge. Maybe it's pretty wide, it's safe, maybe it's 4 feet wide. So it's pretty safe, but it's like goes down, you know, 3,000 feet on either side. And chances are you're going to be really walking. Chances are you're not going to be thinking about, you know, what happened in high school or you know, what you're having for dinner tomorrow. You're just going to really be there. So the idea is just to really be there, but in a loving way, in a caring way, in a simpatico way. Just really, I just like to be there in a relaxed, fully embodied way. That's kind of what all the walking meditation ways of doing it have in common. And then there's, you know, particular forms, and I'll offer you one. And that is to find a walkway that's about 15 or 20 paces long, and simply walk back and forth. And one of the advantages for some people in walking back and forth is that you're interrupting each time you come to the end. You have to turn around. And it's a time to notice if you're drifted off in thought. If you walk around continuously, you know, around the property, which sometimes is quite lovely and helpful even, sometimes though it's much easier to be lost in your thoughts for a long time. But if you come to your end of your 20 steps, there I was, and then you do it again. You know, you set your intention, start over again. And so walk back and forth. And I think it's nice when you begin to find a pace that brings you a sense of ease. And that means your own pace, your own speed, as you find helpful. And it can be somewhat fast. My teacher in Burma, he power walked when he did walking meditation. As far as I knew, he always did that. And if I wanted to, I could have run next to him to keep up with him if I didn't walk fast. And so sometimes that's really helpful to walk really fast. Generally, do that further away from other people so you don't, you know, frighten them. But generally, it's people walk a little bit slower than ordinary city street walking pace. But find a pace that gives you a sense of ease, something that feels good for you. And then begin to inhabit the body as you do that. Kind of settle into your body. Some people find as they get into it, it is more and more intimate, more and more connected to their body. Sometimes it feels very natural to go slower and slower, because then you really kind of becomes after a while kind of exquisite to just really fully feel and sense and allow the feelings, the sensations to be there. If you force yourself to go too slow before your body's ready, your whole system is ready, before you've inhabited your body, sometimes it feels too forced and too, you know, like mental. So it's sometimes easier than to walk a little bit faster. Generally it's nice to keep your eyes down at about 45 degrees so you don't take in a lot of sights around you. You don't get pulled off into the sights. Sometimes some people like to go someplace where there is not a lot of things around them. Like sometimes the deck, some parts of the deck here around, there's not much to see, the wall on your side. It kind of helps keep it simple. And as you settle into the body, as you walk, to drop the attention down into the feet and the legs. The feet and the legs moving is the biggest movement happening as you're walking, biggest change. And so that's where the most changing variety of sensations are operating. And then there's a rhythm of the steps as you make them. And so drop into that rhythm, drop into that changing flow of sensations as in the feet and legs as you walk. And just as where there's a rhythm in breathing, if you do breathing, mindfulness of breathing, there's a rhythm in the walking. And sometimes that rhythm can be helpful to kind of way ground you and stay present. And the idea is to kind of inhabit your legs and feet so that those sensations, all the sensations in there, come more and more in focus or more alive or more present for you. And so that you're inhabiting that physical world more than you're inhabiting your thoughts. And you can let your thinking kind of recede to the periphery of your awareness, periphery of your life, rather than living in your thoughts or centered in your thoughts. Just let them kind of fall to the side. So what you're inhabiting is really your body walking, your body being present. And then if you find it helpful, because the mind is very busy, a lot of thoughts, and that's where you keep going. Sometimes it's helpful to use a thought, a particular thought, to help connect you to the practice rather than your thinking mind taking you away. And we call that mental noting or mental labeling. And that is to use usually a one word that labels or what you're paying attention to. So if you're walking, if you say just very gently, softly in the mind, walking. And that gentle, soft note is a reminder, yeah, just inhabit the walking, be here. Hopefully it's a gentle, loving kind of reminder, oh yeah, here, yes, oh this is here, be with this. Walking. Or stepping. Stepping's a little more precise, what's actually going on. Or lifting, if you're going slow, and placing. Feel the lifting as you say it, feel the placing. And the mental noting is is really just a pointer. It says right there, be right there in the experience of the stepping as you go. And some people don't like to do the mental noting because it seems like their thinking mind then is busy. And you don't have to do it. Some people find it helpful not to do it. But a lot of people who think it's not so useful, if they're really honest, if they don't do it, their mind actually drifts off in thought more. And so it's actually, even though it takes a little bit of effort, sometimes there's a better return on the practice because it's really keeping you grounded or anchored better than if you don't do it when the mind is more easily spins out. So you can do that, you know, do that if you find it helpful. And if you find yourself really spinning out in thoughts or a lot of strong emotions coming up as you walk, or you really get caught in what's going on around you with your eyes, a nice thing to do is just stop in your tracks, close your eyes, and just breathe and take stock. Really kind of check in what's going on for you. And maybe take some deep breaths and relax and let go. And then you can start again and try to start fresh. So those are some ideas of walking meditation, and I certainly hope that you enjoy it, or it's an acquired taste, and you know that's the direction you're going someday to enjoy it, it's a wonderful thing to do, and it's a nice bridge, because between sitting and the rest of the world, because, you know, we do a fair amount of walking in our lives, for most of us. And those of us who don't walk a lot have other ways of transport. Then there's alternative ways of doing something like walking meditation that brings some of that balance going back and forth we're talking about in the beginning, so that there's that walking is more energizing and the sitting is more settling. So for people who don't do a lot of can't walk or don't do a lot of walk because they have arthritis a little bit, then there are alternative things to do, and you can talk to John and I about alternatives for how to do that. Okay, so any questions about that, or any questions about being here that you would like? Great. So I hope you enjoy the day of practice. Oh, a couple of things, announcements. One is that at the 1:45 sitting, the first sitting after lunch, I'll come and be here, and I'll give a little bit more instructions or just a little bit guided meditation, partly because it's a tiring time and just to kind of, you know, support you. And then this evening, at the first walking period in the evening, which would be at 7:15, and I will make this announcement again, there are some of you who are new to being on retreat or new to being at IRC, or some of you who are newish to retreats. Maybe you've been to only one retreat before or something. And both of us, John? So John and I will stay here for that little period, and we'll do a little fireside chat. You know, you're welcome. We'll come up here and sit here, and we'll just have a very informal discussion or question and answer session about how the day went and concerns you have, questions you have. And it's usually quite sweet. So that's for those of you who are newish. Well, you can stay for that. Great. Thank you.